I want that hold tonight. Praise God. I want that hold tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So good to have Brother Andy and Sister Candace with us tonight. Brother Andy, where you at? Hey, stand, testify. Amen. Good to have these Tennessee folks. Amen. Amen. We're excited what God's doing. Amen. How he's doing things in lives and hearts and souls. Amen. And everyone that's here, amen. God bless you. Brother Zach, where did you run off? Brother Zach. Let's see. I seen him a moment and disappear. Today we're excited because, amen, we had two to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today at jail. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, from point one, the point finish, we've had a genuine move of the Holy Ghost all day long. And how wonderful it is to watch God touch people that's never felt the gift of the Holy Ghost, never knew about it. And we had two inmates today. God just reached down and filled with the Holy Ghost, and others that were seeking for the Holy Ghost today. It was a wonderful thing to watch that and to see the help in the hand of God. Amen. We're thankful what God is doing, how he's doing things. Are you thankful that God is doing something today? Amen. Amen. And how great it is to feel the touch of the Lord. Amen. And watch his hand in action in the lives of so many people. And I just feel that God's doing great things. Amen. We're so thankful that Sunday morning, amen, Andrew Garcia's mother, I can't remember her first name, she was over here. The Spirit of the Lord is all over her. Sunday night, Wyatt received the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're thankful for these things God's doing. Amen. Great things are happening. Amen. But they have a price tag. Amen. And I'm thankful that we are willing to pay the price to see the things of God accomplished in lives. Amen. And how wonderful it is to watch people. One young man come in today, and he may be showing up at church any moment, but he just got released from jail. And it has been many years ago that he was in jail, and he looked at me and said, Brother Crossway, he said, I'll never forget that you told me I've got to have my axe and my 238s. And he was so excited to see me. He said, I'm just here for a little bit. He said, I promise you. And then, I mean, when we were checking out to leave today, he was leaving too. And he said, I'm coming to visit you. He said, I said, well, man, we don't like visits. We like people just stay with us and watch what God would do in their life. Another young man that's raised around church today, he walked in the service. He knows some of our people here. And how wonderful to watch him, amen, get back to some things in God. He was weeping and praying, and I watched over there for a little bit. I watched his old mouth just moving and praying. And how exciting it is to see that, even to know that he's trying to tap in. Amen. What good is it if we don't come to church and try to tap in? Some people try to come in and fit in. Amen. I want to tell you, you'd never fit in without the Spirit of God. Amen. It's tapping in. Amen. And I'm thankful for the glory of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want to go tonight to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 5:17. Amen. 5:17 of 2 Corinthians. Amen. I appreciate you. Every one of you that are here, we're excited for you. Amen. And again, Sunday morning when we were praying for Andrew's mother, his little brother Jeremiah, we were talking about baptism, and Jeremiah said to me right over there, he said, Brother Crosswind, I went to visit my brother in the jail, and I seen the board that you had up there about being baptized. He said, I seen at the jail where I had to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he didn't know I was the one that drew that on that board and wrote all those different things there. And how wonderful that this little boy is wanting to be baptized in Jesus' name as well. I'm excited what God's going to do. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're in Christ, he is a new creature. To be a new creature, something has to happen. You got to be in Christ. And if you're really in Christ, old things are passed away. There's going to be some things that pass away in your life. Some things that die. Behold, all things are become what? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I'm going to talk about your Genesis. Your Genesis. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, creature. But not only that, but something just died in your life. You know, repentance is a death of self-will, sin, and it is a coronation of God Almighty in your life. If you don't crown God with repentance and by giving yourself, everybody wants to give their sin to God. They want to check their sin in without checking themselves in. God wants you to turn yourself in when you repent of your sin. Everybody say amen. Amen. Something has to die for you to have a new beginning in God Almighty. Amen. How wonderful. The scripture does say, again, I emphasize, if any man be in Christ. You got to be in Christ. Amen. And I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about your Genesis, but amen, but while we're just talking about it just a little bit, I need somebody. Brother Colton, will you turn to John 1:1? John chapter 1, verse 1. How beautiful new beginnings in things of creation. Amen. How wonderful it is to have a Genesis in your life. Amen. But the scripture's talking about there could be no Genesis if there's no Exodus. Uh-huh. You got to have an exit out of sin and out of sin's hold. And sometime, you know, God will open the chains, but you got to step out of the chains. There must be some big effort in getting out of the chains. Some people want to hold to their chains. You know, if you notice that, some people, they think the chains are holding them, but they're holding the chains. Let go of the chains. Let go of the binding factors. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? Somebody go ahead and finish quoting it. And the Word was God. In the beginning there was God. Verse 14 now.
And the Word was made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Dwelt among us.
Yeah. Full of grace and truth. Are you thankful today for that? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. It only took the Word. Somebody said it only took the Word. Say it. It only took the Word. It only took the Word to speak and for there to be a new creation. It still takes the Word of God in your life for you to have the newness of life. Amen.
I got a mic.
There we go. It's a lot better. New creation. Took the Word of God. Word of God changes the whole circumstance. Remember Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Without form and void, darkness. The Hebrews begin to talk about it. The Jewish people, when they talk about creation, it says, in the beginning, before creation, the world was full of chaos. Anything in darkness, anything that don't have some kind of form, that don't have some kind of structure, is something that's chaotic. When a river gets out of its banks, it becomes chaotic. It will eat away anything that's in its way. The chaos of the darkness and no form. But it's amazing when God said, let there be. Amen. God changed immediately the whole circumstance. Darkness became light, and the chaos had structure. I want you to know the evidence of somebody really getting a hold of God in their life. They're going to have light, and they're going to have structure in their life. Somebody that don't have structure in their life, just hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss. There's a lot of people like the microphone. A lot of people want to preach. But a lot of people don't want to walk with God. They don't want no structure. They don't want no, you know, no form of structure in their life. I mean, there's a lot of people like to perform. There's a lot of people like to have all the different, let me show you, entertain. But if you have no structure in your life, even what good is entertaining? What good is a microphone preaching to somebody if you have nothing in your life to back it up? You better have the light on in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for the light of the world? Are you thankful for the creation? Are you thankful for a Genesis in your life? But listen, what we're really talking about is in order to have a Genesis in your life, there must be an Exodus. You got to get out of sin. You got to get out of sin's chains, out of sin's slavery. God opens the door for you to get out. And God opens the door for you to come in into his glory. There must be an Exodus, and we must stay in that realm of God's glory and his light. Amen. And new life started when God said, let there be, and he created light and amazing. Light and life all goes together. Death and darkness stays together. New life with God, our creator. And in an amazing scripture, it begins to talk about how, you know, here we are. And our life was chaotic. I don't know about you. Without God, our life is chaotic. Have you ever seen the chaos that goes on in life? Just open your eyes, drive down any city street in any state, any city, whatever, and you'll find chaos. But oh, you watch somebody who all of a sudden surrenders to God and makes an exit out of sin to a new beginning with God. The light of God is turned on and structure will happen to their life. They will have a Genesis. Things start sprouting. Things start blossoming. There's a root system that starts growing, and there's fruit that will be brought forth. Amen. In the beginning, God created a fruitful earth, earth that multiplied rightly. He created male and female, and they multiplied. And he said it was good. And what God deems as good is still good. Praise God. Without going any further with that, amen, you know where I'm hitting. Amen. And how beautiful it is when God comes in somebody's life, the power of the Holy Ghost. And when it's at work in somebody's life, amen, it begins to have a difference there when the power is on. Now, our air conditioner went out last Friday, and it didn't take long for my house to heat up, boom, like that. Immediately, a nice, comfortable house, about 70 degrees, 71 degrees, 72 degrees, all of a sudden started to hit 85, 90 degrees, I mean immediately. We're addicted to Freon, thank God for it. Amen. And we had to buy a new unit. We had to put a new unit in, but it didn't come without just anything. We had to work to put that unit in. The old one was shot. A lot of work with it. But it was amazing. The moment that thing turned on immediately and it started blowing, you could feel the difference. I want to tell somebody, when you let God work in your life, when you're tapped into God, something, you can know you'll know the difference when somebody's been with God in prayer. You can tell when somebody gets behind a pulpit and hadn't been praying. You can tell if somebody has just a church-only prayer life. Mm-hmm. If they have just a church-only prayer life, you know it, because there's something not working correctly. There's not a balance. Amen. I don't want to have a church-only talk with God. I don't want to make the sanctuary just a place I talk to God, but I want to walk with God every step of my life. I want God to be involved in my soul, in my life, in my home, in everything I do. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, man, he intended for man to have a walk with him. Notice a walk in the light. How beautiful it was, that garden he put them in. Everything he put there had structure. Everything had consistency and it had a pattern. And when God puts you in his church, God wants you to catch a hold of some things. There's some laws, there's some principles, there's some goods for you. There's some things that he expects in your life to start developing. God wants a people that would develop, people that would grow their life. And how beautiful it was for Adam and Eve to start walking with God. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive some essentials, right? God just don't give you his gift of himself, the Spirit, without giving you some things to keep it. Mm-hmm. Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. Everybody say power. There's power in God. When you're not hooked up to the power, something's wrong. You could tell. Power, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. How beautiful it was that there was light. Light comes on in somebody's life. And when the light comes on, you're able to see things. Your eye works with light. Revelation of self is one of the first things that God begins to do with his light. I love when God convicts me of me. You ever been convicted? You see, when you're convicted, God don't beat you down, Brother John. Conviction is not God beating you up. I had one lady talk to me one time. She said, you know, I'm not condemned about that. God has never condemned me about doing this particular thing. And I looked at her and said, sister, God don't condemn that. You're trying to say conviction, huh? And you know, I knew she didn't understand totally. So I said, you know, God don't use condemnation to beat you up. He condemns when somebody's totally gone past the line. He condemns sin. He condemns these things. But he convicts you as his saint. And when conviction comes in your life, God turns a light on. You're able to look at yourself and examine yourself and say, ooh, I didn't realize I had this going on in my heart. Or maybe I did realize. But I realized the drasticness of it or the measures of it. Amen. When God convicts you, he opens your understanding. It takes the light of God. Conviction is a compliment from heaven. There's some people afraid of conviction. Conviction don't push you from God. Conviction draws you to God. The difference between condemnation and conviction is this. Condemnation says, you got to lift your hands in prayer and say, who are you to raise your hands? John, what are you doing raising your hands in church? Don't you know what you said yesterday about Brent, your brother? Don't you know what you said about Wesley? How can you raise your hands in church? I mean, the enemy wants to do this. Let me show you what condemnation does. Condemnation does this. It closes your ears where you can't hear God anymore and covers your eyes. But you know what conviction does? Opens your ears, opens your heart, and opens your eyes. Yeah. That you see things. And you go, wow, God, I'm sorry. Thank you for helping me. Yeah. If you really follow conviction, conviction will induce a betterment in your life and produce something great in your soul. Are you thankful for the goodness of conviction? That light is turned on. Amen. When you're a new creature in Christ, all things will pass away, and behold, all things become new. There is a revelation of self, of sin. You start discovering things in your life. Oh, I didn't realize that. You get a good light bulb in your house. I mean, you ever had lights that start going out, and you would change light bulbs. You got a better lighting system in your life and in your house, and you realize, where did that dust come from? Where did that spider web go? It was there all the time. You just couldn't see it. But the more you have the light of God in your life, the more you see things. Oh, I can't believe it. I just had company over and all this dust in my house. I hope they had bifocals. I hope they couldn't see good. Amen. That's what the light of God does. The light helps you see some things that normally you wouldn't see. Some things that you don't feel. You don't feel dust unless you start rubbing your hand on something. But God helps you to see some things. Not only, but light gives you guidance. You ever had something happen in the middle of the night and you need your light? And today we got a phone with lights. And we turn the phone on and we're able to say, oh, this is how you do that. This is where that's at. Light will give you guidance in your spiritual life. The next thing light does, it gives identity. It separates you from darkness. And I'm thankful that in God, when you're a new creature in Christ, there's going to be a separation. You're going to separate darkness. You're going to separate yourself from sin. And the things that trips you, the light will show you. And you examine yourself and say, hold it. I don't want that anymore. You're going to live and grow in the light. God wants you to live. God wants you to grow. And God wants you to produce something in your soul. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, let's tackle this old devil tonight. You ready? I'm going to tackle an old devil, which is a mindset. You know, when you're born, nobody was born a marathon runner, right? That little baby that's born didn't jump up out of that crib and take off running. He's not fit to run a marathon. Just because you receive the Holy Ghost doesn't make you ready for the Olympics. The Holy Ghost has some essentials to help you grow your faith and grow yourself in God. Heaven and eternal life will be an intentional endeavorment in your life. You're going to strive to walk with God. You're going to discover that you've got to have a relationship. A baby must grow, develop, and mature. A saint has to grow, develop, and mature. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. Amen. Have you ever seen an immature person? As big babies. Big babies are detrimental to churches and to the kingdom of God. Amen. Big babies, immature people can hinder what God's really wanting to do. But I love to watch somebody grow in God. I love to watch the light turn on and they start growing in God. And when you get to that new Genesis in your life, that new beginning, isn't it amazing to feel yourself growing? And it's like somebody that, I mean, like me, that I got to that place and said, I'm tired of carrying around all this extra weight. And when you start getting rid of the weight, I don't take the pocket knife and cut off this stuff. I had to do without something to get rid of the weight. I had to change some habits to get rid of the weights. I had to quit doing things that are detrimental to me, and the things that keep on putting on the weight, I have to put away. And friend, when you start seeing yourself in the mirror of God's word, remember the mirror don't work without light. You start looking in that mirror and you go, ooh, man, I need to do something about me. I'm getting excessive. I'm getting heavy. I'm getting a lot of weight. Amen. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. When you get overweighted, amen, you can't tie your shoe. You can't go without a little bit. You're winded. And that's the devil wants you to be overweighted with sin. But oh, how wonderful when you start shedding some things in your life. God will help you walk. God will help you run. God will help your life. Amen. You're able to do some things. You're able to fight the fight better. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. But we got to learn that. We learn that by walking with God in the light. The discovery's made. You're going to put away some things. You're going to put on some things. Not only do you put away corruption and all these things, but you start putting on some things. The armor of God. You start putting on the different things of your life. A person starts becoming modest. Mm-hmm. You don't dress immodest anymore. You're not there to flaunt yourself, show yourself off. Amen. There's some things put on. When you start working and walking with God, Adam and Eve were naked, the Bible says. And they try to put some things on that were inappropriate. It didn't fit the master's plan. Amen. A little here, a little bit there don't cover you up and make you modest. And of all crazy things, I guess Adam and Eve never picked figs in their life. Have you ever picked figs and it caused you to itch? I mean, you ever had that problem before? That's the worst leaf they ever could use to cover up their nakedness. So when the Lord came around, the Lord used and allowed an animal to be killed and use their skins to cover them. And the Bible says he made them coats, something to cover their nakedness. Isn't it amazing when you walk in God, God will always have a covering. He'll cover your nakedness, your shame, your inabilities, all these different things. The goodness and the grace of God will cover you up. Are you thankful that God will be that comforter in your life, that covering in your life? So you're going to put on some things. You're going to put in some things in your life in operation. You can put in operation some things in your heart. Amen. There's going to be some new operations in you. Amen. That you're going to have in your life. You're not going to do the same old thing, the same old pattern that you've been doing. Amen. And you're going to put off some things. We put away some things, but we also put off some things. You're going to put off filthy talk, worldliness, ungodliness, all these things you put away. In a daily walk with God, God does not expect to carry us all the way. God doesn't want to carry you all the way with him, but God wants you to walk with him. And it takes a daily examination of yourself in the light of God. I call it a light check or a mirror check. You know what a mirror check is? It's whenever somebody looks in that mirror. And I use this one over here for example. Oh, my. I got a hair out of order. Woo, man. I don't match. Oh, this is out of order. We need a good mirror check every day in our life. Yes. You need to check yourself. You need to examine yourself in the light of God's word, the mirror, and check yourself, check your heart. Begin to work with the things that you see there. Amen. Find some things. It's amazing when the Lord begins to work on you, and it's more than an outside examination. There's a lot of people that try to conform to the uniform, but they don't want to be transformed on the inside. You see, when you start checking your insides, amen, you do an x-ray of your heart, your mind, your words, and pretty soon you start finding some things inside. You start, man, I got to get a hold of that. I've been talking like this. I've been thinking like this. And you start working on your heart. Now, the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, right? And when they left Egypt, it meant they left sin and slavery. And when you leave sin, you make an exodus, an exit out of it, out of sin. You know, it was Genesis, the beginning. Adam and Eve sinned, they left the garden to place a new beginning. But when if you exit sin, you get back to your Genesis. You get back to that relationship with God that sin separated man from. I don't want to be separated from God. Amen. I don't want to give God a bill of divorce, but I want to walk with God. I want the God of heaven on my side. I want to be on the side of my master. Amen. If you want God on your side, you better walk with him. Get next to God in your relationship. Amen. They had to rid sin. They had to get out of Egypt. They had to make an exodus out of Egypt. Isn't it crazy? Even though they left Egypt, God let them wander in the wilderness and continue to wander in the wilderness and kept wandering in the wilderness. The reason why they kept wandering in the wilderness, God was trying to get Egypt out of their heart. You know, when you walk with God, it's an unfolding relationship where you get every step. You get further and further away from Egypt's ways, Egypt's talk, Egypt's ways and mentality, the mindset of Egypt. But it takes a daily walk with God will get you further and further away from your Egypt. But how beautiful God to get you back to your Genesis when you just follow his leading. Enoch walked with God. How beautiful it was. Enoch kept walking with God. Finally, God said, Enoch, you know, you've walked with me every day. He said, but this day you get to walk with me and I get to take you to a place of beauty, a place with me. Yeah. Well, these days, those that walk with God is going to have their Enoch day. Well, you finally reached your finish line and God says, let me take you home with me. Are you thankful? Amen. You start working on your walk, things will happen in your life. You start working on yourself. Discipline. You start learning to pull back some things in your life. Put the reins, put yourself under control of the Holy Ghost. And you start conforming to the things of God. And it's amazing whenever you start looking at your life and say, what causes me to do what I do? What causes me to get upset when this happens? You start checking yourself, your past hurts. You start looking and you know, I got a thorn here I didn't realize I had it. You ever got a thorn before? It starts festering, irritating you, get infected. And the only way that you're really going to get, it's crazy. But immediately, it seems like when you get rid of that little bitty, bitty thorn, immediately it starts feeling better. You ever stepped on a piece of glass and tried to say, oh, well, I'll get it after a while. And that glass starts getting fed. And pretty soon, your foot starts getting infected. It's getting a little fever in it. It's irritable. I find a lot of people have things in their heart, just a little sliver of things, and it makes them irritable. They get around people and they get irritated. They get aggravated. They run their mouth real quick. They're very quick to talk, very quickly, amen, to condemn other people. You need to examine what's triggering me. What's causing me to begin to talk that way? What's causing me to walk that kind of way? You start checking yourself. It's amazing. You start working on you. You start developing you. You put your life in a construction. You start conditioning yourself. And how amazing it is to find yourself in a new place in the Holy Ghost. I think that's where God's bringing our church. Are you thankful for that new place in the Holy Ghost? At the same time, anytime you start leaving Egypt and put Egypt in your rearview mirror, sin in your rearview mirror, you're going to have to leave some people behind. It is amazing when a church grows, sometimes it will outgrow some people that don't want to grow. And you'll wonder, where did they go? Pastor friend of mine just lost about 30 people, and he called me the other day, and he was upset. You know, it was hurting his heart because some of them were family members. And he was, going through it. And I told him, I said, sometimes God gives a good weeding. He said, you're the second person today. He said, but the other person used it like this. He said, sometimes we need a good BM to get rid of some things. BM for you is bowel. You start getting rid of some things that are holding you back. Amen. That's crazy, but it's the truth, isn't it? I want to grow. I want the Holy Ghost to grow. Growing is not just numerically us growing. Everybody thinks growing is getting a big crowd. A crowd is not church growth. Yes, sir. But I want to tell you what church growth is. When the saints of God start growing up and start maturing, how beautiful. God will start sending brand new people when he's got a mature enough people to handle babies. Right. Somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm on target with that. A sculpture. Somebody asked the man that was making a sculpture, a statue, said, how do you do that? He said, well, I take this hammer, I take this chisel, and he said, I will start chipping away everything that don't look like what I want to make it. When you start examining yourself in the Holy Ghost, you're going to take and chip away things that don't belong in your life, that you could look like God, the image of the Almighty God. You're going to measure up to the Word of God. But, you know, I don't want to get rid of this. I don't want to do this. I mean, if you don't want to do it, sometimes the flesh begins to say, oh, don't get rid of that. Amen. How much junk we have in life. How much baggage we carry in life. How many needless things. But when the Holy Ghost shows you you and tells you to chip away some things, rid some things, how beautiful it is when the load is off of you, the weight is laid aside. Amen. God will begin to bless you and grow you up. We talk about all the time, magnify the Lord. Well, some little teenage boy one time piped up and said, you can't make God any bigger. And I said, oh, okay. I said, but you ever look through a magnifying glass? When you look through a magnifying glass, you put a grain of rice on that table, and you look at it through a magnifying glass, you're not making that grain of rice any bigger, but you're making the image of it bigger. You can't make God any bigger. But when you magnify God, you start seeing God in a bigger realm. Amen. You heard me talk about the little girl. She asked her daddy, she said, Daddy, how big is God? And daddy said, he's bigger than what you need him to be. Are you thankful we serve a great, mighty God today? Your vision, your image, God becomes greater in your life. Those who grow their faith will produce and start developing some things. You exit out of Egypt to get to your Genesis, to that garden of new beginnings and new life. Think with me. At the tree of life in that garden at the beginning, and where we will end up, the Bible says, on the other side, there will be the tree of life. It's the same tree of life, I know. Fruitfulness was in that garden. Fruitfulness was there. And I believe there on the other side it's going to be because of your fruitfulness that you'll get back to Genesis. You'll get back to that new place, that walk with God. You'll get to know God in a different manner. We can suppose, we can begin to pretend like we know what heaven's going to be. We take from the Word of God, we see some things there. We measure some things. But folks, it's going to blow our mind. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Neither is in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. Walk with God and keep him number one. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost. How about you? I want a closer walk with God. I'm talking about your Genesis tonight. Amen. But your Genesis all depends on you. It depends on you. God touches lives. God helps lives. God works on lives. When God turns the light on, you start seeing, wow. And I don't want to lay in that stuff no more. Isn't it crazy how man always thought, man, the way to enjoy life, give me another tequila. Give me another beer. Or mix me a drink. I can remember going to aunt and uncle's house, and every morning he was gagging because, he was a heavy smoker. And I still could hear that spoon in that jar when he would stir that whiskey with that Coca-Cola. I could hear that. He was a drinker and he was a smoker. But one good thing I could say later in his life, Bobby Edwards was his name. Amen. He quit smoking and he's quit drinking. But I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, amen, it is amazing when God turns a light on you, you're going to go, you mean? Oh, I don't want that no more. I'm thankful when the Holy Ghost works on you, when you don't have to have a stinking cigarette. You don't have to have all these artificial things. Amen. But you have the beauty of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How can I live without my cigarette? Says, Christian, remember those days?
Yes, sir.
That poor little gal, when she came to God, I don't know how often she smoked and how many packs she smoked, but she thought, oh, no, I can't ever do this. But I'm thankful that God will make sin sick to you. Yeah. Woo. Amen. And God will make that walk beautiful and tasty. Amen. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Stand with me. Woo. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want my Genesis. How about you? I want that place of beginning. You know how beautiful it is, Brother Holt? When we walk in the Holy Ghost, every step in the Holy Ghost, there's something new. Wow. And the closer you get to the light could be at the end of a tunnel. But every step towards the light, the Bible says we walk in the light as he is in the light. Isn't it amazing? The closer you get to the edge, the end of that tunnel where that light is, the more light you have, the greater it becomes. Even the newer it becomes. The more you can see, the more you can be for God. Amen. I want my Genesis. Amen. I want that place, that walk, and that relationship with the Almighty God. Amen. Will you stick your hands up right now to the Lord God? Amen. Oh, would you talk to him about your beginning, your Genesis? Talk to him about that walk. Amen. Lord, I love and I praise you today. God, I want that walk. Oh, God, I want that communion. I want that fellowship. I want that talk with you, Lord. I want that race to be run with you, Lord Jesus, for you. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Thank you for the allocation of your grace and mercy, the gifts of your spirit, the strength of your word, Lord. I thank you for it tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you tonight, God, that you can build us up. God, you can help us, Lord Jesus, that our faith could be in you, rooted and grounded. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to clap their hands to God. Oh, give the Lord your praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. And conclusion, this is what I want to say.
Thank you.
Frank and John, let's reverse this. Let's go Frank and Elizabeth. Frank and Elizabeth were good friends. Well, let's say Frank and John were good friends. But one day, Frank and John said, you know, Frank looked at John and he said, man, I just met somebody a lot prettier than you. And I was like, man, there's something different than a brotherly attraction. And he sees something, chemistry start working. And he and Elizabeth, man, and pretty soon, they're hitting on the same cylinders. They're connected. And they get married. And there is a new beginning in their life. Well, Frank's still his friend, but not his friend like he was. Because he found a new thing, a fulfillment that God made him for, male and female. And there's something new started happening. I mean, oh, just about when the honeymoon is over, something else happens. Man, they started having where are we going to put that new thing that's arriving? Well, you know, they start thinking, well, we've been living this one, you know, this one room house. We need to start looking for something bigger. You know, I want to tell somebody, God wants you to outgrow some things in your life. God wants you to outgrow some things. Man, how many wants to outgrow some old things, some old habits and old ways? Pretty soon, they get excited because they find a little home. And there it is. And that day comes of that arrival. Amen. In that hospital ward, all of a sudden, oh, she's excited. Daddy's excited. People all around, they're excited. They're taking pictures because arrived has this child, a new addition. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, God is ready for new additions to happen in your life. Amen. Oh, God is ready for new additions to happen. He's doing it in this church right now. There's some brand new ways, brand new things that God is doing. Oh, but I feel this very strongly tonight in the Holy Ghost. God is ready for new additions in you. And there's going to be new things that start to happen. You start growing new things in your life. You go, wow, I've never been used like this. I never felt this. And when you grow up, and it's amazing. I can remember being in church as a little boy where I couldn't see over the pew in front of me. I can remember my daddy holding me. Yes, I can. I can remember my daddy holding me in church. But I can remember the day I could barely see over the pew in front of me. Barely see over it. You start growing. The taller you get, the more you ever see. And the more you grow up in God, the more you're able to be. It's like, wow, this is amazing. How beautiful you are, God. I've been missing a lot of things because I've been hiding behind some things. But now I'm starting to outgrow some things. I'm growing up, and I'm feeling something in the Holy Ghost. My, I feel the exact thing in some of your lives. God is helping you to grow up, amen, and to get a little higher and to see a little bit more in the Spirit. Amen. One more time, lift your hands as we dismiss. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to grow. Help us on the journey to a Genesis, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Help us to make that exodus, to get out of Egypt, Lord, to cross, God, that Red Sea. God, let us cross into that promised land, Lord Jesus, that is before us. God, your promises are sure. They're valid. They're certain. And, Lord, they're amen. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. I want to go to heaven now. Huh?
Yeah.
God bless you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.